The Office of Personnel Management needs to do more to ensure meaningful distinctions are made when it comes to performance ratings and awards for members of the senior executive service. That's according to a new report from the Government Accountability Office. Federal News Radio's Emily Kopp joins me now with more details from that report. Emily, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so what did this report look at specifically?
It looked at the number of senior executives who received performance ratings and how they were rated between level one, which means you need help, to level five, which means that you're great.
You're the next president.
And, right. And if career executives had those ambitions, of course, and tried to correlate that with performance awards. And found that there are a couple of things. One thing, and as I write on federalnewsradio.com, it's a bit like Lake Wobegon, where everybody is above average, and 85% of SES get either fives, meaning that yes, they could be president, or fours, which is almost as good. Very, very few get ones and twos. And you can say, well, that's because if they are doing that poorly, they're kicked out of the SES. Maybe they go back to the GS ranks. Maybe they get pushed out of government. But nonetheless, that means that most senior executives are above average. But what they're finding also with regards to the performance awards is that it doesn't necessarily equate. So yes, somebody who has a performance rating of five is likely to get more in a performance award than somebody with a rating of four, but really not that much more. And the distinction has ebbed under the past couple of years of budget constraints and also new guidance from the White House that limits the total amount of money that can be given for awards.
Now, the Office of Personnel Management has been working on SES evaluations now for 2-3 years. Have they made any progress there?
Absolutely. I mean, if you talk with the Office of Personnel Management, they're very, very proud that they have gotten 90% of agencies to agree to a standardized performance appraisal system. That doesn't mean that agencies are doing everything exactly the same, but it means that there are some common standards. And what OPM says is that this is going to make things more consistent among agencies. It's going to make things more transparent, or I should say it is making things more transparent, they say, and that having this standard system is going to encourage some things that have been troubling the SES, such as this idea that an executive has enough of the skills and abilities of leadership to move from one agency to another. You know, they say that with a standardized performance appraisal system, you should be able to look at somebody's review at, say, the energy department and see that it's has enough in common with the transportation department to decide if the person could do the job at the transportation department as well.
Okay, so in other words, if like the question, do they steal, yes or no, probably that's pretty easy to translate across from agency to agency. But the more, I guess, mission specific it might get, the more difficult it might be to compare a rating from agency to agency.
Well, and so executives are supposed to be evaluated against leadership, these things that have leadership abilities. And I write about this in the story that we posted yesterday about accountability and how SES members are evaluated. But they're more along the lines of can you lead change in an organization? Can you lead in a financial responsibility sense? Things like that. And that's universal across agencies. But of course, what isn't is can you understand information technology in one department versus another department? And there's a debate as to whether SES members should have to do that or whether they should really be true leaders and focus on leading as opposed to understanding the weeds of those technical things that are specific from agency to agency.
Now, OPM is said to be convening a cross-agency working group later this year that they want to take a fresh look at this whole SES certification process. First of all, is that going to happen? Do you know much about it? And certification means what? Promotion to the SES?
No, certification process, that's a good point. And they look at how agencies are using the evaluation systems, and especially if agencies haven't taken on OPM's standardized one or those guidelines. And if they approve of agency systems, then agencies can pay a bit more to their SES members than if they haven't approved it. So the certification is for the agency's performance evaluation systems. OPM, according to GAO and to OPM's response to the GAO report, yes, they are in fact having this cross-agency working group later this year. But OPM took issue with some of GAO's suggestions and said that it basically did not support the GAO recommendations, but that they would perhaps bring up the topics at the cross-agency working group.
All right, so Emily, you have been covering now for several weeks the whole issue of SES and whether SES is a worthwhile thing for people to pursue professionally and how SESers feel about being in the senior executive service. How does the GAO report square with what you've been discovering as you've been preparing these reports?
This does not surprise me. And in fact, most of GAO's analysis comes from OPM's own data. OPM issued a report late last year, because they have to every year, about performance awards. And this also squares with what GAO found back in 2008. So there is a perception that there's not a good distinction between those great SES members and the ones who are average. And sometimes even, you know, other SES members tell me that they see people who are, quote, horrible. And they don't understand why those people are leading and remain in their positions. And the reasons are very complicated. What GAO says is that there is a perception that managers of SES feel the need to inflate grades, quote unquote, because there are so many repercussions when you rate somebody. For example, if somebody's rated a 1 or a 2, then their careers are in trouble. And so people perhaps might push them into the 3 category if they want to send the message that the person needs some sort of development and work, but yet they don't want to be responsible for pushing them out of the SES.
Emily Kopp is a reporter with Federal News Radio, and you can read all about her SES investigations and what she's reported so far at federalnewsradio.com. And Emily, I want to switch gears for a minute. You've also got a story about snow and the thrift savings plan. And I never would have dreamed there could be a connection between those two things, but apparently there was this week.
Yeah. If you tried to call the thrift line, the customer service line for the TSP over the last week, you might have heard a busy signal, a really annoying busy signal, and then been disconnected. And apparently, according to the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board that runs the TSP, that's because of trouble that started with the February 17th snowstorm last week. Basically, they had to shut one of their call centers and route callers to their only other call center. Something technical, a technical malfunction happened in that routing. And so instead of actually getting to speak to somebody or even getting in queue to speak to somebody, people were basically cut off. And they said that most of the problems have been resolved, but there are still some lingering problems now, even a week after that snowstorm hit.
So this wasn't a situation where the people could not get to work that manned the call center.
Yes, it was. One of the call centers had to close in Clintwood, Virginia. So people who were calling, instead of being routed to agents in one of 2 call centers, they were only being sent to the one in Frostburg, Maryland. So that center got double the calls. And then to make it worse, the board says that February 17th, they expected to be their busiest day for the thrift line for their call center, because people have questions about their tax returns, and they also have questions about their annual statements, which they just received in the mail. So this snowstorm hit during what was expected to be the busiest day for the call centers. One call center was out of operation. There were technical issues with the routing to the other call center, and the board is still kind of working through what went wrong.
So it seems like there's 2 lessons. One, they need a call center in Phoenix, which, you know, would not be presumably snowed out. And secondly, you know, wasn't there an airline that let people do their ticket fulfillment from their homes? In other words, their ticket agents didn't go to a call center because of the modern telecommunications capabilities. They could simply do it from their homes. And maybe while they're on the phone booking tickets, they could also knit caps for service members. That's optional. no thought of TSP saying people stay home and you can still be part of the call center.
Well, I thought that not in those words, but I thought the same idea as well, Tom. But they have the two call centers, one in Clintwood, Virginia, one in Frostburg, Maryland. So they're both relatively close together. I think the Phoenix thing is a good idea, but of course the people in Virginia and Maryland might disagree. I also wondered why people couldn't do it from their homes, but that was not discussed yesterday at the board meeting.
Yeah, it seems like the ultimate teleworking opportunity. Federal News Radio's Emily Kopp. Emily, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.